It's a big decision for Stamford. In fact, the Stamford Planning Board is set to vote on a contentious 2035 comprehensive plan of conservation and development. Now, this is the city's master plan, or like I think I've heard Mayor Simmons refer to it as a roadmap for the next 10 years of development for the city. But we have had some opponents of the plan, specifically in the sections where there's a lot of focus on adding more residential density. And many who live there, whether they're renters or homeowners, they feel like this is going to bring more traffic congestion, pedestrian dangers, pollution, noise, and it will bring down their property values. Again, just speaking on the opponent's side. But I want to hear from Mayor Caroline Simmons, who joins us now to talk more about the 2035 comprehensive plan and what people can expect if it gets approval by the planning board today. Mayor Simmons, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Melissa. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
So I'm glad to have you here, Mayor Simmons. And I want to first talk about, first and foremost, I'm going to link to our website, voiceofct.com, the city's website that is really focused on this, does a full breakdown. But give us the footnotes version, if you will, Mayor Simmons. What is the 2035 plan?
Sure. So every 10 years, state law requires cities and towns to adopt a master plan, which essentially is a roadmap. Just as you said, it helps guide our future growth, preservation, sustainability, land use, connectivity, a range of different goals and priorities across our city. And so we have renamed this to be our comprehensive plan, our 2035 comprehensive plan. And we've embarked on a year-long process. Our city's Land Use Bureau worked with a consultant group to engage the public through approximately 25,000 touch points with members of the public through focus groups, surveys, neighborhood meetings to get input on what residents want to see for the future of Stamford. And based on that feedback, a plan was released this summer. In response to that initial plan that was released, we also made some edits to it based on additional feedback. And tonight, the planning board will be voting on this plan. And I think it's a great plan for the future of Stamford. It really supports our key goals around making our city more accessible and connected, expanding and maintaining open space and green space, making our city more sustainable, supporting local businesses and vibrant centers, and also diversifying our housing options with a focus on affordability, which we know is a key challenge for residents across our city.
It certainly is. I think that's a key issue across the state. I would say even across the country, we need to find more affordable options. Mayor Simmons, some of the things that I outlined in the beginning of this interview that seem to be concerns from opponents of the plan include things like the growth, and certainly if this is going to impact their quality of life, I believe is a phrase that has been thrown around many, many times before. In fact, can I play for you just a quick audio clip? This is from Paul Brindack. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Paul. Are you familiar with him from Cove Neighborhood Association?
Yes.
Okay. So Paul had shared this on our show, and I just wanted to share it with you and get your feedback on it.
Absolutely should happen. However, it needs to happen with the input of citizens from Stamford. It needs to happen near transportation hubs. It needs to happen where the impact of buying more cars, creating more traffic, will be lessened simply by people living in areas that are directly walkable, accessible to public transportation.
So there are a couple things in there, Mayor Simmons, I want to get your feedback on. First and foremost, having this plan, it doesn't sound like he disagrees with the idea of development, to your point, but to not have it in the neighborhoods that are proposed right now for the 2035 plan, rather closer to mass transit and downtown. What do you think about that?
Sure. Well, I'll say I agree with Paul, and this plan does just that. It specifically promotes growth in more affordable housing in our downtown, in the South End, specifically near transit hubs to support our transit-oriented development goals, and also in the areas of the city where we have the infrastructure to support that additional growth. And based on a number of concerns we heard from residents, I did recommend a change to the plan that would distinguish and preserve single-family neighborhoods while also supporting our growth goals in the areas of the city where it makes sense. And so I think the ultimate version of this plan that's being voted on tonight does a really good job of both balancing our single family neighborhoods and also promoting a diversity of housing to support more affordable housing and also more walkable, connected, affordable communities across our city. So I agree with Paul, and this plan does a good job of striking that balance.
And Mayor Simmons, I think the other thing that came out of that soundbite, and many others, I should say, was, you know, again, Paul had connected with our show after a rally had taken place earlier this month. And I think one of the biggest issues that they've also found was something you touched on before, which was feedback. They don't feel they're being heard. Do you agree?
Well, look, this is an important part of the process, making sure that residents have the opportunity to make their voices heard. And from the start of this plan, that's been really my goal, to make sure there's been a robust public engagement process. So whether it was focus groups, surveys, every neighborhood had an ambassador that we worked closely with. In addition, there's been multiple public hearings, as well as direct feedback that residents have sent to me in my office, which I've taken seriously and included their feedback in recommendations to make changes. So I feel that our team has done a good job of listening and incorporating feedback that we've heard. There's been multiple versions of the plan that have been changed to incorporate resident feedback, and we'll continue to hear feedback. What we also want to reiterate is that, you know, this plan really is a big picture vision for the city. It's not a mandate. It's not legally binding. It really provides overall guidance for future policy investment and decision making. And so we want to continue to hear from residents across the city throughout this process, throughout the budget process coming up. You know, for example, one thing this plan recommends is that our city is more connected with better sidewalks and bike lane infrastructure. And that's something we will have to get past through our capital budget process. So we want to continue to hear from residents as we work to implement the plan. But the plan overall is not legally binding. It's a big picture vision. And I want to commend our team for doing a good job at incorporating resident feedback.
So forgive me for asking this again. We've got Stamford Mayor Caroline Simmons, but, you know, with it being, again, nothing mandated, but it's really just saying we have a focus on this. Is this more of, is the 2035 plan kind of a more overarching, hey, this is something that regardless of who is in office, this is something that the city is going to work towards? And this is sort of a roadmap of what we would like to see done, but it all would need public approval? Or, you know, like when we say it's sort of more of a concept or a roadmap, but you certainly have people who feel that it could bring, you know, issues to certain parts of the city. I guess kind of letting people know how you strike that balance, I guess, how we define it as a roadmap and just something to really strive to create more housing opportunities and really maximize the opportunity to live in Stamford without compromising the fact that public would weigh in on any time there's new housing that would be implemented.
That's exactly right. So anytime new housing is implemented, there's still a process that has to go through our planning board, our zoning board, and those require public hearings as well. There's an appeal process. There's multiple ways for the public to be heard. And yes, exactly as you said, this really is a guiding framework and a roadmap for the next 10 years. And what I think is really exciting about the plan is it tackles the challenges that we're facing head on. If you look at over the next 10 years, the strengths and challenges we have as a city, we're in really good shape in a lot of ways, but we also have a lot of work to do to make our city more affordable, to make our city more sustainable, to make our city healthier through things like improving air quality and preserving green space, to make our city more mobile, to make our neighborhoods more connected. And so what I'm really passionate about in this plan is there's a lot of creative ideas around making those investments to improve quality of life in every neighborhood, to make our city more walkable, to make it more sustainable for future generations. So it really tackles a lot of the challenges we're facing with this roadmap, but it still has to be implemented through our board process and through an extensive public hearing process.
We're chatting with Stamford Mayor Caroline Simmons, and a big decision today for Stamford's planning board set to vote on the 2035 Comprehensive Plan of Conservation and Development. And I want to get to the conservation part as well, Mayor Simmons, which you've really highlighted several times in this conversation, and I appreciate. I want to talk about why create a plan like this, and certainly you've touched on it many times, but I think there's a lot lost in translation sometimes. When we talk about affordable housing, I want to say the average person sometimes doesn't know what that looks like and who we are serving. So, for example, When we talk about creating housing in a city like Stamford, you've got to look at the last 5 years and what has happened. For example, we saw a major population of people coming out of New York City, for example, and moving to Connecticut. Stamford was impacted by that. We've also seen where we're having a very hard time attracting and retaining teachers, for example, healthcare workers. You've got Stamford Health there. You've got a police department, you know, multiple fire departments. You've got many, many, many schools in Stamford. The list goes on and on. But a lot of people can't actually afford to live in the city that they work in, which is Stamford, Connecticut. Is that one of the driving forces behind the 2035 comprehensive plan? Not to put words in your mouth, but I want people to really understand when we say we're trying to create more housing opportunities, it is also for the people who are serving the city of Stamford who just truly cannot afford to live there.
That's absolutely right. And affordability is a key pillar of this plan because we know so many people are struggling to afford to live in our city, and not just Stamford, but cities across the country are facing this crisis. In Stamford specifically and in Connecticut, we know rents have increased about 18% over the past year. Mortgages were at an all-time high. And as you said, because we gained so many residents, we gained about 10,000 residents over the past decade. Stamford's now the second largest city, which is a great thing for our city. We have attracted a lot of young families who want to live here for our great quality of life. But also as a result of that, our housing market has become very expensive because there's very low inventory. So my job as mayor is to make sure we're doing everything we can to create more pathways for affordable homeownership, for affordable rental units, and also to upgrade our existing housing stock. That's been a key focus of my executive order on affordable housing. Over the past several years, we've put funding into our city capital budget to upgrade our existing housing stock, for example, at places like Stamford Manor, which is a low-income senior housing facility that hasn't been updated in years. And so making sure that everyone not only has a safe roof over their head to live, but also a high-quality place to live, which is key to economic development, which is key to making sure everyone has the dignity of a safe place to live. It's also key to supporting our economy and our workforce, and also to our health goals. In fact, looking at another plan, the Community Health Needs Assessment, which Stamford Health and our community health partners conduct every several years, one of the top three health issues facing our city is this housing crisis and housing insecurity faced by residents. So it's a key issue that affects everyone, from young people to seniors. And so my job as mayor is to do everything I can to make our city more affordable so that everyone can afford to live here and can access our economy and have the ability to thrive in our city.
With the 2035 plan, Mayor Simmons, how much of the new complexes or single family homes, you know, however much, you know, is actually going to be affordable?
Sure. So essentially, this plan actually doesn't change the map that much because of our affordable housing executive order, because of that affordable housing plan, which has been rated one of the top plans in the state, because of the work we're doing to implement that. We're actually on target, working towards our affordable housing goals. My goal was to get to 1,000 units. We have about 637 in the pipeline, but we still have more work to do. And through a combination of supporting changes in our capital budget to policy changes around our train station, for example, we know that we're able to support our affordable housing goals in the areas of our city where it makes sense, in the mixed-use core, mixed-use urban, downtown transit areas where we have the infrastructure to support that housing. So I believe this plan does a good job of really balancing our single family neighborhoods, but also promoting a diversity of housing stock across our city. Because we see, for example, young people may want to live in a rental unit downtown for a few years and then change where they want to be, whereas others might want to have an opportunity to buy a condo, whereas some people want to be closer to North Stamford. So I think our city has a great variety of housing, and we need to continue to do a better job of investing in diversifying our housing stock so there's opportunities for everyone.
And the other thing, too, Mayor Simmons, with the 2035 plan, it sounds like there really is a focus on conservation, and I want to touch on that because when we say green space, immediately people will think of the many, many parks, for example, that you guys have and beaches and so forth. But what really is fascinating about this is you're talking about neighborhoods, for example, that I think you guys had like an urban heat map that really shows there are neighborhoods seem to be much hotter because there's limited tree coverage. That also kind of feeds into when you have a lack of tree coverage, plantation, more pollution in those areas. That's also a focus with this plan, right, is also just to create more green space in what is already existing in parts of Stamford.
Yes, absolutely. Expanding and maintaining green space, supporting our 58 parks, which are one of our city's greatest assets, supporting our three beaches, but also sustainability and conservation is critical. We are a coastal city with rising sea levels, and we want to make sure we're making investments in things like better managing stormwater to reduce flooding and to strengthen resiliency against climate change so that our residents and businesses don't continue to suffer damage and aren't at risk in the future. So this plan really is forward thinking, and it really prioritizes sustainability, investing in our parks and green spaces, but also investing in a more resilient green infrastructure, which we've also worked to build into our capital budgets, and we need to continue to make investments in for future generations.
Do you think this plan protects existing green space, but also creates actual green space? So, for example, like not artificial turf, for example.
Sure. So it doesn't get that into the nuances of what type of green space, but it certainly overall calls for both protecting existing green space and creating new green space, which also overlaps with, we conducted a park strategic plan 2 years ago where we got input from the public on what more they want to see. And we heard a lot from members about the desire for new parks and new green space to be created in areas where there isn't. So one of our goals through that plan, which is also incorporated in this, is to make sure that every resident has access to a high quality park or green space within a 10-minute walk of where they live. And that's really key for our healthy city goals and making sure that everyone has access to fresh air and good air quality, but also to your point on heat, we experienced and the country experienced some of the hottest days on record last year. And so we have to be forward thinking as a city to make sure we're building in things like tree canopies and more green infrastructure and planting more trees. We've planted hundreds of new trees just to make sure that our residents aren't going to suffer from the devastating effects of heat waves in the future. So this plan, again, provides that good guiding framework and roadmap for all of those sustainability and green space goals.
Stamford Mayor Caroline Simmons, thank you so much. We'll see what the board decides to vote on later today. We appreciate it.